I think Donald Trump's slogan is "Let's make America great again." But I think his slogan should really be "Let's have a world war again."
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Yeah. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
They can get a bit weird, so I'm warning you.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Can you believe this? I'm not kidding you. I'm serious. I know. I know. Don't even bother saying it. Don't even bother. Welcome to the program. How you doing? Sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us here for conversation in which you cannot participate. I love this. I hope you're relaxed. I really do. I actually don't care, but sounds good to say it. It sounds good to say it. Yeah, I'm a little obsessed with Donald Trump right now, but not in the supportive manner. He's actually scaring the pants off me is what he's doing. He's scaring the pants off me. They always said that someday the Antichrist will descend upon the earth. Well, I think he just pulled up in a limo. I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know for sure. I'm not calling him names. Although if he heard me say that, he'd call me a poo-poo head or a bimbo, or he would say I was menstruating or something, which would be accurate. I do watch Lifetime movies every once in a while, and when I do tend to menstruate. And that's the kind of language that I will not tolerate. What an awful human being. And what's scaring me is that there's a good segment of the population that supports him no matter what he says. No matter what he says. If he got on stage and said, you know something, I really find great disdain toward Jews, there would be a segment of the Trump supporters, if not all of them, that would say, you know, he's right, Jews really are annoying. They would say that because anything Donald Trump says, for some reason, is gold. Here's my greatest problem with Donald Trump from a psychological standpoint, and excuse everything I said that may have insulted you when I started the show up until this point. I'm being sarcastic. I don't mean anything that I say at all. As a matter of fact, if I say something, I mean the opposite. Let's just start with those ground rules. Here's my problem with Donald Trump. He is the schoolyard bully. He is that entity that used to take your lunch money. That's him. That's Donald Trump. I don't know what kind of upbringing he had or if he really was a schoolyard bully. He probably wasn't, but he's acting like one. If you cross him, say anything against him, make any kind of comment or critique, he will turn around, point his guns at you, and demean you in a verbal sense, no matter who you are or what you do. Megyn Kelly from Fox News, and right there, there's a problem, because she attacked Donald Trump with a question directed at him about his treatment of females. He turns around and calls her a bimbo. There's blood pouring from her body. She's talentless. She's a nobody. She's ineffectual. She's not very good. She's horrible at what she does. That's the response that Donald Trump gives. That's it. If you attack him, he will turn around and attack you verbally. That's his game. That's what he does. He's a businessman. Most people have spent all their lives bucking big business. Bucking big business. It's hard to say, man. Try saying that. Go on. Try say bucking big business. Try it. Yeah, you can't say it, can you? I know. Business is wonderful. Business, I have a business. You work for a business. You are a business. I have no idea. But business is wonderful. And business should be allowed to thrive. And I do believe in that to many regards, politically and unpolitically. But when you commandeer your business in a threatening, I'll destroy you if you don't support me kind of manner, is despicable. No candidates, no fact-checking people look into Donald Trump's business career and perhaps find, I don't know, but perhaps find that Donald Trump has done some underhanded stuff, has hurt other businesses in order to promote his, has given monies to politicians in order to create an atmosphere where his business can thrive, and he sees nothing wrong with this. Here's my biggest problem with Donald Trump, with the schoolyard bully kind of thing. Donald Trump is never wrong, ever. Everything he says is accurate. Nothing slips from his mouth. Everything is gold, not to be tampered with. And his only excuse for anything that he said is, well, you misunderstood me. I stand behind what I said. It was your sick mind that twisted my words. You're the sick person. That's what he does. Do you know people like this? I do. I know people who, no matter what happens, they are never wrong. They are arrogant, egotistical, and they're never, ever wrong. And they tell you, I am never wrong. I never make an ill decision. I'm never wrong. I've never said anything to hurt anybody. I speak the truth. He hides behind this phrase, I speak the truth. We need people that speak the truth, and that's what I'm doing. If you don't like what I say, that's your problem. I'm speaking the truth. That's his excuse for everything. He can do no wrong. Nothing he's ever said has been incorrect, inaccurate, or wrong. They asked the Fox News people there at the Fox News / Comedy Central roast of Republicans. They said to Donald Trump, you keep saying that you have the answer to immigration, and you have proof that the Mexican government is sending all their criminals and rapists over the border on purpose. And Donald Trump says, that's what they're doing. That's what the Mexican government is doing. And the news media, by the way, now because the news media questions Donald Trump, now Donald Trump has called the news media ineffectual, absurd, unintelligent, a bunch of bimbos. That's what Donald Trump calls them because they said something about him. They went on the attack. He turned around and verbally attacked them. This is the way this man operates. He operates through intimidation. They said, Mr. Trump, do you have proof that the Mexican government is sending over their rapists and criminals on purpose? And Donald says, I have proof. And they say, well, what is the proof, Mr. Trump? I'll tell you when the time comes. I'm just telling you, there is proof. Well, what is a proof? There is proof. Trust me, there is proof. I will reveal the proof when it's time to reveal the proof. But you can't make statements, Mr. Trump, and not back it up. I can because I know what I'm doing, and trust me, I have the proof. It's in a locker somewhere in Des Moines, Iowa, and that's where the information is. But I'm not ready to tell you what it is. But trust me, I have the proof. And then finally, they press him enough to the point where Trump says, "Here's the proof. I went down to the Mexican border and I spoke to a few border guards, and they told me that that's what they're doing. That's the proof." Oh, you spoke to a few border guards and that's what they told you. Yeah, yeah. So it's true. So it's true. So that's my proof. And see, I was right all the time. I spoke to a few border guards. Yeah, yeah, that's it. That's it. That's what I did. The man's never wrong. He's never wrong. And I don't care for people that are never, ever, ever wrong and have an excuse for everything. The man is good at that? I don't think so. I see through it like a piece of glass. But for some reason, there's a huge segment of the American population that is very comfortable with that. Here's why Donald Trump is doing so well. Excuse me for talking so much, but if you talked, then I wouldn't, this would be just dead air. All right, you want to talk? All right, I'll just sit here and listen to you. See, that doesn't work. So anyway, there's something wrong with this man. What he's doing is he's representing a large number of people in this country who are just sick of the way things are being run. So here's a guy who stands up and says, America is failing. He starts with that premise, America is failing. And he is the man to make America great again. And he doesn't quite know how he's going to do it. He's going to run this country like a business. And Donald Trump's most famous words that will be on his gravestone, tombstone, whatever the hell that thing is, will be, "You're fired." So be prepared to be fired, ladies and gentlemen, if you piss him off. And that's my Donald Trump story for today. Am I frightened about the possibility of him becoming president? It would be an incredibly wonderful motion picture if it were fantasy. If it were to be reality, it would be a horror film, and you'd be starring in it, and that's not good.
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show. Don't worry, no one has to know. This is just between you and me and Ron. We cool?
Okay, here's an idea, and it's crazy. I know it's crazy, but that's what I do. I come up with crazy things that may make a little bit of sense. Here we go. Are you familiar with the magic duo Penn and Teller? A lot of people are. Most people are. They're a Vegas act. They've been around for decades and decades. Penn Jillette is the larger of the two. He's a tall man, and he's a great magician. And his partner is Teller. Teller doesn't talk. That's the gimmick of, I think he really does, but that's the gimmick of their act. They're both accomplished, fantastic, amazing magicians. They're at the top of their game as far as the magic world is concerned. They have great respect for each other. Penn thinks that Teller is one of the most intelligent, incredible magicians of all time. And Teller, although he doesn't speak, has great respect for Penn. As a duo, they create some wonderful magic and illusions and do an incredible show. But they have 100% respect for each other. They act as a team. I'm sure they don't agree upon everything. I'm sure they might even get into some little tiny arguments. But they always work it out because they are a team and they know that. And they operate on total mutual respect. Here is my idea. Not that Penn and Teller should be president of the United States or anything, although I guess it's as good as Trump would be. But I'm talking about a duo, man. Instead of having one person at the helm of the ship, why not have a team, a duo, or a team where they can bounce ideas off between each other, come to a consensus in a respectable, intelligent, mature manner, and then operate thereof, and as Penn and Teller do, put on a great show. And perhaps being the president of the United States is the greatest magic show on earth. I liken it to a magic show, or a maggot show, which I just said by mistake. But I'm saying, why not elect a team of people? Now, in basis of theory, that's what we're supposed to be doing with a president and vice president. We always feel that the vice president's only role is to say stupid stuff, play golf, go to worldwide funerals, and to step in should the president become disabled in any sense of the word. That is the function of the vice president. It shouldn't be that way. They should be a team. The president, would he trump the vice president? Sorry for using that word, oddly enough. But yeah, maybe the president would be in greater power than the vice president, but they would act as a team. They would discuss every issue together. You need a team, ladies and gentlemen. One person results in some type of agenda ego problem. We're human beings, and we fuck things up by nature. This has got to stop. I am not a Republican. I might be more of a Democrat personally, but I'm not totally a Democrat. There's a lot of crap that the Democrats do that I find totally wrong. A lot of stuff Republicans do that I find totally wrong. It's not that an independent party would be in the middle. I don't care about the ends. I don't care about the middle. I care about the entire package only. And if at any time one of those political parties started making decisions based on the fact that they are a party and to boost their party politically, I would say all bets are off. You can no longer participate because you're biased. People in government should not be biased and acting solely upon the interests of their party alone to achieve political power for their party. That is total bullshit. And I'm sorry for using the word, but it is just, it's unacceptable. And yet, this is how we operate our country. Donald Trump is no better than Putin. They are both dictators. They both believe that what they say and what they do is unchallenged because they are right. They are never wrong. And they shall do what they want to do by intimidation and doing it for no reason whatsoever necessarily, just because they feel it's the right thing to do. That is wrong. This country doesn't operate like that. This country is supposed to be a team and a consensus. Donald Trump has never talked about a team or a consensus in his entire campaign, nor have a lot of candidates on either side of the quote-unquote aisle. Am I tremendously disappointed in our government? You bet your little freaking ass I am. Is there a candidate? Look, I'm talking to myself in questions. Is there a candidate right now that I think could really lead this country properly with both compassion and intelligence? No, there's not one that I recognize. I hope there's time for one to emerge. But until one does, it's a difficult situation. And that's why when people go to the polls, they don't necessarily vote for a candidate. They vote because it's the lesser of two evils. What a horrible way to exist, choosing the lesser of two evils. It's like some type of a pathetic Sophie's choice. It's just not right. So, what am I saying? I don't know. I have no idea.
You're listening to The Big Show with Ron Van Dam. I wish I could listen to it too. But sometimes he says bad words.
This is Bobby Marone, former heavyweight contender. But I hung up my boxing gloves recently and put on my chef's hat to open my brand new restaurant.
It's Headshots, Bobby.
Headshots. Headshots serve some of the best Italian crayons.
That's cuisine.
Italian cuisine in the area. You come in and I'll give you a meal that'll knock you out. Ah, crayons.
That one says meatballs, Bobby.
Meatballs are the best you've ever tasted. Come in for my 1-2 punch pasta and daily lunch specials. Every day, daily lunch specials are every day.
We're all good on that one, Bobby. Let's keep going.
All right. So listen, come into...
It's called Headshots, Bobby. Headshots.
Headshots, thank you. Headshots, and ask for me. What the hell is my name?
Headshots is located downtown at the corner of Flange and Hassenpfeffer. Open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner if Bobby remembers the keys and where the restaurant is.
I apologize for devoting this show to comments about Donald Trump. He's just like, he's like the Kardashian family. He's been forced upon me by, yes, the news media, because it is, what is the media other than a big reality show entertainment thing? It's like my entire life is surrounded by TMZ programs. Donald Trump is the big thing now, and in our society, we hook on to the big thing. It is like the Kardashians in the sense that it doesn't seem to go away, and in my mind, is quite annoying. So we live with it, and that's why we, you know, why. If you have opinions or you want to contact the program, maybe come up with some topics that you wish discussed, if you're a guest and would like to appear on this radio program format, you're welcome to do so. Here's how you do it. You open up your window, you stick your head out, and you yell as loud as you can, "Ron, please listen to me now." Although we do have ways of doing this in a quieter sense, and that would be through email. I am the last remaining human being on the planet to still have AOL, and I happen to like it, and it's not dial-up, okay. It's Metro South Podcasting at AOL.com. Metro South Podcasting at AOL.com. There you can send me messages, and I shall respond in kind. Here's where I think Donald Trump should have been excluded. It was a comment that he made during the Republican National Convention comedy show. And here's what he said. It was when Megyn Kelly, or Megan Fox, I don't know what the hell the difference is. Megyn Kelly says to Donald Trump about women, "You have been known to call women fat pigs." And then she goes on. And Donald Trump responds and says, "No, the only person, only woman I've ever called a fat pig was Rosie O'Donnell." And when I heard that, that shut it off for me right there. I don't care about all the other stupid, moronic opinions he's had or how popular he is with the Republican base or any base at all. When he said that, that was it for me. Here's why. The man standing on a stage in front of the country, by the way, that quote-unquote political debate debacle was the largest television audience ever for a non-sports program. And I would group it into a sporting event, but apparently the media didn't. the largest audience for a non-sports event. So it was immensely huge. The only thing that would have been larger is possibly the Kardashians on stage with Caitlyn Jenner. That might have drawn just a little bit more. But not. So here's what happened. As soon as he said, yeah, I call Rosie O'Donnell a fat pig, that should have cemented it. They should have said, okay, Donald, off the stage. That's it. You've gone too far. Rosie O'Donnell, whether she's a fat pig or not, Rosie O'Donnell and Donald Trump got into it. They tweeted back and forth. They messaged back and forth. They used the media to call each other assholes. And that's what they did. They got into a childish little, you call me this, I'll call you that. You call me that, I'll call you this. Like two schoolyard children fighting over crap. It was unbelievably immature and stupid, and nobody cared about it, but it was just fun to watch these two scrapping little idiots. Then Donald Trump called her a fat pig. And this is what I'm talking about with the schoolyard bully reference. This is a grown businessman, as he states, worth billions of dollars, he says, with gigantic businesses. And yet, he stands there in a business suit with a red tie and some type of blonde baseball cap and calls somebody else a fat pig because that he is embroiled in some type of argument with her. A large disagreement of something. I don't even know what they were disagreeing about. The President of the United States cannot call people fat pigs. First of all, you don't call people fat. You don't call people pigs because you have a disagreement with them. That is childish schoolyard activity. It was in his past, in his recent past. This is the kind of scrapping that this man gets into. That's one thing. To stand on a stage in a Republican political debate, it really wasn't a debate, it was more a TV reality show put on by Fox. For him to stand there and publicly, across the country and the world, himself bring up the fact that he did call Rosie O'Donnell a fat pig, admits it, is proud of it. He wants to be our president, and he's standing there calling a celebrity a fat pig. He doesn't care because he's not politically correct. Is she a pig? Yes, she is, says Donald Trump. Is she fat? Yes, she is, says Donald Trump. So I shall call her a fat pig because I speak the truth, and that's what America wants, the truth. That was the moment when he should have been kicked off the freaking stage. Donald, you totally don't get what this is here. You're running for the leader of the country and perhaps for the free world. Everything you do, everything you say is of consequence. Every action you take is of consequence. Every stroke of the pen is of consequence. If you do something wrong, you can't just declare bankruptcy, which Donald Trump has done twice in his life. As a matter of fact, the Fox News anchors actually said, Donald Trump, you claimed bankruptcy twice. Is that a financially responsible person that we're putting into the presidential office? And he said, I declared bankruptcy because in this country, you can declare bankruptcy. And by the way, I did not declare bankruptcy. My companies did. Oh, I see. So you didn't have sex with a woman. You just blew her brains out sexually. I mean, what are you talking about, man? Now you're mincing words. You declared bankruptcy. No, my companies did. Oh, stop it. And I did it because in this country, you can declare bankruptcy. Well, what about all the companies that couldn't collect their money for services rendered to your companies because you went bankrupt, they lost all the money involved that they had into your company. You bought products from them, from these people, but you, from these companies, but you never paid them because you declared bankruptcy. And Donald Trump responds by saying, those were not good people. The people that I dealt with are big companies, and they are, by definition, they're not good people. Then, Donald, you're calling yourself not good people. When does the American public start listening to what this man is saying, digest it, understand it, and respond in kind that way, and not to the man who stands there ranting, claiming he's going to make America great again, and that he's not a politician, per se, yet he gives money to politicians to create a better business atmosphere for his companies? You got to start listening, man. And I'm not against Republicans, because a lot of Republicans have some theories of government which are pretty cool and should be enacted. And there are a lot of Democratic things that have happened which have been destructive as well. So I'm not going after parties here. I'm going after a man that is hypocritical. And if you listen to him, you'll understand why this is so annoying to me. If you support Donald Trump, I can't talk to you, because you will support him no matter what he does. If he takes out a gun and shoots somebody, you will probably say that Donald was defending himself and he was perfectly right in shooting this person. Donald can do no wrong if you support him, because he is always right.
Like anyone would be, I am flattered by your fascination with me. Like any hot-blooded woman, I have simply wanted an object to crave. But you're not alone, you're uninvited, unfortunate.
Trump, you are uninvited.
That one in every seven Americans is in desperate need of a dope slap. Studies show that every 17 seconds in America someone writes, says, or does something so incredibly stupid that they deserve to be slapped, and you can help. If someone you know commits an act of boneheaded stupidity, simply extend your hand with the palm facing to the side, draw your arm back, and deliver a sharp, solid blow straight across their forehead. It's called a dope slap. It only takes a moment to perform, but the lesson can last a lifetime. This has been a message from the American Dope Slap Association and Metro South Podcasting.
Hey, Tara Wellington is going to join us now. She is an expert about kids and nutrition and how to feed kids, usually through the mouth. And Tara joins us now. Tara. Let's say hello to Tara Wellington. She's actress and TV personality, and she appears on morning and TV and radio, as she is right now. She's also editor-in-chief of SimpleMomsGuide.com. She's the author of The Mom's Guide to Growing Your Family Green, Saving the Earth Begins at Home. She also builds cars and paves roads. She does everything. Hi, Tara.
Hi, I don't know about the building cars.
Oh, okay.
Right, I wish, right? I don't even know if I know how to change a tire. I need to, you know, figure that one out.
I can't do that either. I call AAA. But you wouldn't have time anyway. You're doing a lot of stuff. We're talking about kids today and their involvement in learning things and getting ready and cooking and doing some household things. And let's talk about that. Let's talk about meal preparation in the kitchen, first of all.
Right. You know, we're in back-to-school time, and it's a great time to be talking about making healthy eating choices, and it's a hectic time for both parents and kids,
yeah.
But you know, you can take some simple steps and get your kids involved in healthy eating choices, get them in the kitchen to educate them at the same time. And I'm here on behalf of several companies that I'll talk about today. We're going to give you some great tips on not only, you know, healthy eating, but also a school lunch. And maybe if we have some time, you know, a little bit about exercise for your kids as well.
Cool. Oh, how about exercise for me? Because I don't do it. All right, let's start with within the kitchen and getting the kids involved.
Yeah, you know, so how do we develop those healthy eating and snacking habits mm-hmm. in our kids? And the answer really is, you know, start early. And the studies show that the habits that we start when we're young, they often carry into adulthood. So, you know, we're trying to prepare our kids to be great and successful in the classroom, but we also need to prepare them for success with what they eat. So get them involved, you know, bring them shopping with you, help the children to learn how to read those labels. Try different kinds of foods and lots of different kinds of fruits and vegetables and different ways to get them in. So even, you know, healthy beverages can work out for you, like Welch's 100% grape juice, for example, because, you know, you have a 4-ounce glass of that and you get one serving of fruit, no added sugar, color, or flavor. And then, you know, interact with your kids in the kitchen. They love to interact with food. And you can do that during their afternoon snack time. It's a perfect time. There's a recipe on our website, SimpleMomsGuide.com, for a Concord Grape Gummies recipe. It's made with the same juice, 100% grape juice. This is a great way to get the heart health benefits of the Concord grape. They turn out, you'll see a picture on the website. You can use cookie cutters, and they're made with gelatin and the grape juice, and you can cut them into these really cute shapes, but they're healthy at the same time. Mm-hmm. And a really interesting fact about that juice is that it's made by crushing the whole grape, skin, seeds, and all, and then that releases those healthy plant nutrients straight from the grape into the juice. So you've got some good stuff there.
And this is the same grape stuff that they talk about in red wine, where it's actually healthy for you.
Right. That's exactly right. You're very educated on this.
Nice.
Yes, because of the Concord grape, which is a wonderfully healthy grape, and it releases those antioxidants and polyphenols, big word there, into the juice that you drink and these snacks, and
cool.
Healthy and good.
Excellent. And these are natural sugars, too, which is different than putting spoonful of
sugar. That's right.
Yeah.
There's no added sugar in this juice. So that's, you know, and matter of fact, that's really something that you need to be aware of. And if any time that there's going to be fruit in a label, you're going to, it's going to show that it has the sugar, but it's not the added sugar.
Correct,
so,
which is different stuff, and it's processed differently. Okay.
Yeah,
I mean, I totally agree that getting kids involved, this is an education is what it is. If kids do things with their parents, like shop and have proper nutrition, then they carry it into their lives. Otherwise, they have no idea. They don't know what they're doing. They'll eat fast food the rest of their life. They don't know what nutrition is. This is a parent's education to a child firsthand. What else do you have?
Well, yes, and you're totally right about that. But also, kids have this sixth sense of what they like.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you talk about school lunches, and a lot of parents, they're taking about of packing their kids' lunch.
Yeah.
But you have to be careful with that, because you can send this healthy lunch to school, but it might fail if you don't get your child's input. So mm-hmm. you can pack this healthy lunch, you know, but instead your child gets to school, takes out the lunch, and, you know, trades the banana for a mini candy bar, eats mm-hmm. the friend's chips and buys some soda, and then throws away the lunch. And I hope that that is not what happens. But we all know that it can. And so the way to avoid that, though, is to make a lunch plan with your child's input, talk about the fruits and veggies that they like, pack mm-hmm. them up for, you know, for every day of the week. You can use, like, Gladware. They have containers that keep the food fresh and the food waste down. They actually have some really cute little containers for the younger kids. They're limited edition Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles design, and so they give your kids the ultimate school cool cred. And so, you know, they're easy cleanup, microwave, freezer, and dishwasher safe. They're cost efficient. If your child loses one of them, then it's not going to break the budget.
Mm-hmm.
Now, breakfast is really important as well, don't you think?
Yeah, it's supposed to be like the most important meal of the day.
It totally is. And here are some stats. 8 to 12% of elementary kids skip breakfast.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like a lot, but the number really rises by the time that they get into high school. But it comes into 20 to 30%. So, you know, breakfast jump starts your body in the morning, especially if you choose a healthy breakfast. So here's some quick ideas. Include protein, but choose the right kind, like the low-fat milk, low-fat sugar Greek yogurt, soy milk, a breakfast burrito with beans and eggs, or old-fashioned peanut butter on toast, and then add the whole grains, like your whole grain toast or cereal with high fiber and whole grains, not your sugar-laden kind,
mm-hmm.
or low-fat, low-sugar granola with yogurt, and then add in the serving or two of fruit. You can have it all be really grab-and-go, the cereal, the yogurt, the fruit. But also avoid coffee and energy drinks for kids, because caffeine raises blood pressure and heart rate in teenagers.
Very true. I'm glad you said that, because those are habits that you don't want to start that early. Bad habits should come later on, not that early. It's so important. They don't teach nutrition and taking care of your body in school. I mean, I think they do, but they don't personalize it enough. So this is the only way you can learn how to do it right.
That's right. And finally, you know, ask your child's school what type of breaks and PE and recess is available, because, you know, we recently wrote about a study at SimpleMomsGuide.com for our Yoga for Kids article, and it was from the University of North Florida. This is a study that just came out this last week, and they found that you can improve your working memory by 50% by doing short bursts of exercise that also require a task. So, like climbing trees or, you know, play equipment kind of mimics trees. They have to climb on them. It's a really great way for your kids to get that exercise. Yoga with a DVD to follow along for playtime, a balance beam in gymnastics. They can actually help to improve kids' mood and help ADHD kids. If you'd like more information, you can go to the website at simplemomsguide.com.
Perfect. And we can get information about everything you've talked about at simplemomsguide.com.
That's right, and links to everything as well.
Wonderful. Well, I'm going to go outside and climb a tree, although I have a feeling I'll be arrested, but whatever. I guess it's good for me. And
Okay.
Oh, all right. Tara, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. Tara Warrington. Breaker, breaker. Got a smoky on my tail. When I was younger, I wanted to have a shortwave, what do you call those things, the walkie-talkies, the breaker bread, the CB, Citizens Band Radio. Breaker, breaker, sorry guys, I'm traveling, breaker, breaker, why'd you get me over, I got you over, over, how do you like your eggs, over easy, over. Always, well, I thought that was so cool, you know. I thought that was really cool. I'm old enough to remember the first time that I was able to make a phone call from my car. Yeah, I'm old enough for that. I was a youngin, but I remember it. So cool. So cool. Guess where I am, Bob? In my car. I'm making a phone call to you from my car. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been a real pleasure on your part. Join me again tomorrow, if you would, please. Tomorrow, by the way, Tori Lagarde joins us for conversation. She's a female, I'm a male. Doesn't mean anything, really, but I don't have to talk to myself. I can talk to her, and she can talk to me. And a lot of people find it interesting conversation as we talk through the wonderments of life. Ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow... have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace.